Hello and welcome into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. Thank you for watching us on the We the Patriots USA Rumble channel and Red Voice Media, and for listening on New Hampshire Family Radio WLMW 90.7 FM Manchester, New Hampshire, KKVB Radio in Las Vegas, Real Talk 93.3 The Voice of Freedom in St. Louis, and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like us on your station, email us at Taryn@WeThePatriotsUSA.org. Today's discussion with Sally Fallon Morrell of the Weston A. Price Foundation is going to be one you do not want to miss. We are tackling the subject once again on this show of gender confusion here in the United States. We have talked a lot about this, and worldwide, really. We've talked a lot about this from the ideology standpoint, the cultural standpoint, and how this is very much an ideology, you know, that is being pushed out there, especially on our nation's youth via social media, the media itself, and so on and so forth. But we also need to look at this multifaceted issue from various viewpoints as well, one of which the health and what we are putting into our bodies and the toxins that we're surrounded with, how these disrupt their endocrine disruptors and how they disrupt our hormonal development, which could also be contributing to some of this gender confusion and blurring the lines really between gender as well taking place. So it's going to be a fascinating conversation coming at it from the health perspective here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. This episode is brought to you by The Freedom People, providing comprehensive solutions for individuals and businesses to take control and protect their freedoms. Visit thefreedompeople.org to reclaim your freedoms. This episode is brought to you by The Carnivore Bar, providing a fuel source for ancestral, carnivore, paleo, and keto eaters who value their on-the-go autonomy without sacrificing quality nutrition. Visit carnivorebar.com for more information.
Where do we go from here? Because the battle has just begun. As eyes open, we continue to arm ourselves with the truth in all aspects of our lives, asking questions and relentlessly searching for answers, educating ourselves and forging a new path forward. Hear from real people faithfully pursuing freedom. This is Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization working to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights.
Sally, thank you so much for joining us again. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so delighted because I read this article in your winter edition of the Weston A. Price Foundation's magazine, and this just struck me. And I know that you even have more developments since this article, but let's kind of start from the beginning for people. Everyone's been hearing about, you know, the gender confusion happening here in the United States, and we all know that it comes, you know, from a cultural standpoint as well. But how did you come to think of this from the health perspective? From, you know, just, we know that hormonal development has been an issue. Testosterone, estrogen levels throughout our nation's people have been disrupted. But how did you kind of connect the dots between the two? Are you there, Sally?
Well, this I had to really get my courage up to. Yes, I'm here. Okay, I really had to kind of screw up my courage to write this article, but our board voted unanimously that we should write it because it's such a big issue today. And I'm not approaching this from a moral aspect at all. I'm not making any judgments, but what we're seeing today is the what you could predict, the predictable outcome of the dietary guidelines, which and the, all the junk food people are eating, and the lack of good animal fats in the diet, because animal fats supply, animal fats and organ meats supply cholesterol, and they supply vitamin A and the other fat-soluble vitamins that we need to make hormones. And this is especially important when the mother is pregnant. The genitals are formed during the first I think it's like the 6 to 7 weeks of pregnancy. And if the mother is not getting enough cholesterol and vitamin A, these genitals will not prolate. But then there is a second window, and that's later in the pregnancy, when the brain is programmed to be either masculine or feminine. Because the masculine brain is different from the feminine brain. One organ in the brain, the hypothalamus, there's a section of the hypothalamus that's twice as large in men as in women. And if the hormonal signals are not there, a child may be born with, looks like a boy, but thinks like a girl, has a female brain. And the man who discovered this, his name is Dick Swan, he was very pessimistic. He said, there's nothing you can do once this programming takes place. This is during pregnancy. And we are not telling our moms, I mean, the government's not telling, we, the Weston A. Price Foundation, is telling moms how to eat during pregnancy, but most women are eating an abysmal diet during pregnancy and not able to make all the hormones that will result in girls or boys and all this confusion. One of the really amazing things that I learned in this. So the number one oil used in the American diet is soybean oil, and it's in everything. It's in all fast foods. And there's in 1 tablespoon of soybean oil is as much estrogen as a birth control pill. 1 tablespoon of soybean oil. So our kids are growing up on this stuff. They're just flooded with estrogen. And is it any wonder that our boys growing up are confused, that our girls flooded with too much estrogen, that can actually go into too much testosterone. Girls don't know who they are. This, I'm not passing any judgments. This is a tragic situation. And it's not going to stop by thumping Bibles or passing laws. It's only going to stop when we get back to eating the way human beings are supposed to eat.
I think that's so key. And we've been saying that, you know, from every aspect on the dietary guidelines and the way that they regulate our food, and that it isn't benefiting the American people. It is benefiting big corporations. And this is just one of the ways that it's contributing to the decline in our health.
Yeah. And the decline in our fertility. One of a very good example is that it is forbidden by federal law. Federal law forbids children in school to have whole milk.
And why? That makes no sense to me.
I can tell you why, because the accountants have figured out that they make at least 5 times more on the butterfat if they put it in ice cream than if they leave it in milk for growing children. So until our nutrition policy is based on real science and loving parents instead of accountants, we're going to have this situation.
I think a lot of people have been, and a lot of moms have been hearing, you mentioned the seed oils and the estrogen that's in the soybean oil. The seed oils were saturated in them everywhere. They're in, you know, all of the processed foods, even the snacks and the crackers that you think are healthy that you're giving your children.
Everywhere. Yeah.
It's everywhere. So really dive just a little bit more here briefly into that for moms and parents.
Well, the foods that children should be getting growing up, whole raw milk, cheese, preserved meats are fine. You know, natural salami with a lot of fat in it, ham, lots of butter, and meats. And like we used to in the past, we had liver once a week. This is what our children should be eating. And these are the very foods that we're being told not to eat, not to give our children. And the processed foods are so addictive that they don't want to eat real foods anymore. Mm-hmm. I talked to a distraught grandmother the other day who had cooked the food for her grandchildren until they were about 10 years old. And now they don't want her food. They don't like it. And she was just heartbroken. And the children are getting fat and, you know, not doing well in school, but they won't eat real food anymore.
I know it's really hard because you kind of, it all snowballs from there. And we'll talk about those MSGs that are addictive in the food, the endocrine disruptors, and so on and so forth in just a moment here with Sally Fallon on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. Taking a quick break to let you all know that we are running a campaign called Commit to 10 at wethepatriotsusa.org/donate. We get calls every day, people needing assistance with their medical freedom cases, parental rights cases, their Second Amendment cases, and so on and so forth, fighting religious exemptions and everything under the sun here in the United States. But we need your help. We can't take on all these cases. We need more funds. Please head to wethepatriotsusa.org/donate. And now we're back here with Sally. Sally, I have a slide for all of those that are watching us on Red Voice Media or on our various social platforms here at We the Patriots USA that shows some of these endocrine disruptors that you guys talked about in your article that caught my attention. And these are contributing to the hormonal issues that people are having. And I'm going to bring up the slide and we can talk about because it's basically everything that we're surrounded by here in the United States and the things that we consume. Yes, you know, obviously the pharmaceutical drugs and the recreational drugs and things like that.
The sunscreen.
That's the one that I really, really wanted to talk to you about today. Yes, sunscreen. Let's talk about sunscreen because we are still kind of in the summer here.
Okay. Yeah, well, sunscreen not only contains estrogen, but testosterone blockers. I mean, this is the last thing you should ever put on your child. And mothers are slathering their boys and girls, even when they're not going out in the sun, with sunscreen. Another one I just discovered is Advil, which people take for pain and discomfort. It is a testosterone blocker. And another one I just learned about is fluoride. Fluoride was first used to calm down zoo animals and then prisoners. And you know why it calms them down? Because it blocks testosterone. So, I mean, it's just everywhere. It's in the water. It's in the shampoos. It's in the plastics. But that's nothing compared to what's in the food. And the, you know, pesticides that turn fish male fish female and all this, they're all there in the food.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of people that have taken flack, including Alex Jones, for talking about that, how these chemicals in the water are affecting, and the fluoride in particular are affecting our youth. You know, something also that's on here, I try and tell parents all the time about sunscreen, on how that's actually, you know, dangerous and actually isn't helping your children. The Roundup and everything that we spray on our foods, we talk about, but other things that people might not think about: wall-to-wall carpet in your home, linoleum, the flooring, the type of materials that are in your home, your office.
Fabrics, yes, absolutely. The sheets, you know, bed linens. Another thing is MSG. Now, MSG is in all processed food. It's in all processed foods. And MSG affects the hypothalamus. And once again, we're talking about the hypothalamus. First of all, it's the seat of impulse control. And we're seeing, what are we seeing today? Lack of impulse control in our children. But it also is where we have this sexual difference. The hypothalamus of men is different from the hypothalamus of women. It should be in normal circumstances.
This is interesting. So let's talk a little bit further about the hypothalamus, because you did bring that up a few times in the article and the various things that, you know, that are disrupting that proper development and functioning of the hypothalamus here in worldwide, really. The MSGs, how is it that they are targeting the hypothalamus?
That I don't know, but there's a couple of good studies there. And of course, they use MSG because otherwise all this processed food would taste like cardboard. No one would eat it. So it's in everything. There are studies showing that not even about processed food, more MSG in their cooking are heavier or fatter. But there are also studies showing that MSG directly affects the hypothalamus. And one of the hormones produced by the hypothalamus is oxytocin, the cuddly hormone, the the gentle mothering hormone, which should be produced by men as well as women. And you know, you have this, and we hear about it all the time, this toxic masculinity. Well, it can be toxic if the men are not confident enough about their masculinity, or if their hypothalamus is not producing oxytocin, you can get this kind of masculinity that's, rough and what they're calling it, toxic. It's just that these guys are not very confident in themselves.
Yeah, I think that we see a lot of, nowadays we are seeing a lot of blurring of the lines in gender, right? Especially in appearance. And Weston A. Price, you know, you guys harp on the diet a lot and the appearance, how that affects the shape of your face, which can affect, you know, your teeth and things like that. But it also, the malnutrition, it's weird to think that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In the room and the head. I was just saying, if you have a broad face, you have a lot of space in your head for the master glands in the head, the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the pineal gland. And we have, most children, they have very narrow faces. So there's a lot of pressure on those glands. Yeah, and all of this has to start before conception. We need to be training our young men and women how to eat, how to prepare for conception, like traditional peoples did. You know, they didn't leave anything to chance. They had special nutrient-dense foods for men and women at least 6 months before conception. And these foods included grass-fed butter, fish eggs, shark liver oil was one, like cod liver oil, and especially liver. They all ate liver to prepare for conception.
And cholesterol, that dirty word that everyone thinks is so bad for you, but is actually just, it's optimal in brain development.
We've made a demon out of cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's essential for life. And we're starting to put young men younger and younger on statins, cholesterol-lowering drugs, putting teenagers on statins. You make testosterone out of cholesterol. And one of the first side effects of statins is erectile dysfunction. Another one is anger. Another one is depression. So, I mean, we've just got everything wrong about how we're treating this magnificent human body and how we're feeding it.
It is. It just, it kind of, when you start to read this article and you start to go down the path of any of what we're talking about, it really starts to, you know, get you fired up and get you a little mad that all of these things, all of these issues that we're hearing in society, low sperm count, all these different things. And so much of it is related to the diet and it goes back to all of this. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about how stress contributes to a lot of this. And we know our teens and our nation is under stress like it has not been before. In just a moment, we'll be back here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. Today's case spotlight for We the Patriots USA, we are highlighting a breaking news that happened just this past week out of the Second Circuit Court in the state of Connecticut. It upheld the dismissal of the challenge to the Connecticut's religious exemption repeal that We the Patriots USA put forth in the courts. We are vowing to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. We believe that the judge failed to meet its burden. The courts failed to meet its burden of proving that the repeal of the religious exemption was necessary to protect public health. We believe we have a real shot at reversing this in the Supreme Court. So please head over to wethepatriotsusa.org to learn more and to show your support so we can continue to bring forth religious exemptions and have that right here in the United States. We have to fight it in states like Connecticut. All right. And now we are back with Sally Fallon to continue talking about the hormone disruptors that are leading to the gender confusion that we are having here in the United States. We left off our discussion prior to the break talking about, the lack of cholesterol and how that's been demonized in the diets and how that has led to many of the issues, one of which are testosterone issues. I want to talk, Sally, about stress, because you brought that up in your article. And I think that's key because our nation's youth are stressed more than they ever have been before.
It doesn't seem like there's such a thing as a happy, carefree childhood anymore, unless the parents really, dedicate themselves to that. But the thing is, when we're under stress, we make stress hormones. And what do we make stress hormones out of? We make them out of cholesterol, using vitamin A. And if you're under a lot of stress, then you don't have anything left over for making testosterone or estrogen or whatever. And especially if you're eating a low cholesterol diet that doesn't have any vitamin A in it, if you're not eating butter, you're not getting liver, and all these traditional sources of vitamin A. So yes, stress can exacerbate this whole situation.
And I think that, like we're talking about kids, their happiness and their joy is being robbed from them at an early age due to everything that is surrounding them in society. But then if you go down this path of possibly thinking that you have gender dysphoria as a child or as a teen, that is just a stressful environment to be under as well. So that just really struck me whenever you guys were talking about stress's effect on hormones, yes. Because a child in that situation then is just, digging themselves in a deeper hole, for lack of a better term, whenever they're going through gender dysphoria because of the effects on their hormones.
Yes. Just, and of course, the answer is not to go through any of this horrible surgery, which involves some terrible drugs with horrible side effects. The answer is to get these kids on a good, nutritious diet. It may not turn around the gender confusion, but it might help them deal with it a little better. There's certain windows of development, and once those are passed, it's so. That's why, again, I can't stress, it's so important for parents to learn and couples to learn how to prepare for pregnancy and what to eat during pregnancy and what to feed these babies as they grow. If you go to the supermarket and look at baby food, it's just fruit, so naked sweeteners, heated, either in plastic or aluminum. And you should be making your children's baby food. It should be egg yolks and liver and meat and all these nutrient-dense, high cholesterol foods. And that's not what most people are doing, unfortunately.
I have an interesting question for you about liver, because this is something I have two really young kids and I try to sneak it in there. I'll put it in the spaghetti and mix it in with ground beef or sausage or things like that to put it in there. And, something I thought of, we try to source our meat from regenerative, raised or organic as much as we can, but we can't always do that. So do you, just a conventional and as a part of the commercial, overarching way that the majority of our meat is unfortunately raised here in this country, do you think it's okay for us to feed our kids if we can't get a cleaner source, liver from normal industrial raised animals? Or should we be worried about that because of what could be in the liver?
So I think your best bet is calf's liver, actually, because at least in America, the young cows are on the range. So calf's liver is a very good choice. It's very economical. There's ways of making it that children will actually eat if you don't even know it's there. You can make liver hash and things like that. And then also, if you're doing poultry liver, making pate, my grandsons had no problem eating pate. get an organic poultry liver. You can also get grass-fed liverwurst. And, you know, even we ate that growing up. We had liverwurst sandwiches for lunch at school. So there are ways to do it. It's much easier in Europe to get liver because it's in delicious sausage and pâtés and terrines and things like that. But you can do it here. There's ways of doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We and there's so many places that sell like a power blend or something like that, where they'll blend the liver in with the ground beef and things like that. But you can actually save a little money if you do it yourself, if you buy the liver and then you mix it in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of, starting young, starting early with these kids, you guys also looked into, the hormone disruptors that can happen with childhood vaccinations. And I think that's key because you guys looked and compared what aluminum does and how all of these shots have aluminum in it. Let's talk a little bit more about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So they say they've taken the mercury out, and mercury is extremely toxic. Well, there's still a little mercury in them, but all of these vaccines are aluminum, and that's a neurotoxin. It goes right to the brain, and at the very least, it's going to lower your child's IQ. There's no need for these vaccines in so-called infectious diseases. These were in steep decline before the vaccines were even introduced. I'm glad to see you're fighting the thing in Connecticut, and we really must retain our right to refuse vaccinations because they are a weapon genocide against our children.
They really are. And I loved one of the facts. I'm going to bring it up from your article here that you guys had in this about the aluminum, because I think that so many parents still, it's been drilled into their heads so much with these vaccines. So they still are on that path and still need, this evidence for them. But I loved what you guys said here. A fully vaccinated child receives over 1,000 micrograms of injected aluminum at the 2-month baby checkup and almost 5,000 micrograms by 18 months. In contrast, the maximum allowable aluminum per day for intravenous parental feeding is 25 milligrams. So it's just, through the roof and the amount of aluminum that these shots have.
Yeah. 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 And once it's in, it's very hard to get it out. Very hard to get it out. It lodges in the tissues. Yeah. Just say no, absolutely no to vaccinations. And don't let yourself be bullied or pressured. I just didn't even take my kids to the pediatrician because it was just a fight. So I just stopped doing that. Feed them right. They'll be healthy. Let them have fevers. We're finding out that Tylenol is very damaging to the brains. Yeah, let them have fevers. Fever is a therapy, and they're supposed to have fevers.
It's your body's natural immune response, and we know that our children's immune responses and their immunity needs to be exercised and built up as they grow. And Tylenol, if we bring back up our endocrine disruptors page, Tylenol is one of those painkillers that we had listed on our endocrine disruptors graphic. If you're watching us on Red Voice Media or on We the Patriots USA Rumble, we'll also have a link in our show description for people to go check these out if you're listening to us on our various radio stations. As well as, Sally, I think people are starting to wake up a little bit too to the commercial scented products, whether we're talking about, it's a product you put on your skin or just an air freshener, detergents, just the manufactured scents are really having an impact on people
these,
too.
Fake. Yeah, you don't need those. And be careful what kind of detergent you buy. It should be unscented. No Tide, please. It's everywhere. It's just everywhere, and you really have to be careful as a parent, what kind of environment that you put your children in.
Absolutely. And if you need some clean living tips or tools or anything like that, you can head over to TarynGregson.com/clean-living. And we have all kinds of suggestions for various things to live clean, whether it's cleaning or what you're putting on your skin. Sally, in a moment, whenever we come back, I want to talk to you about some of your findings that you had since this article and what you guys are eyeing up as you head into your upcoming national conference in October, the fall and the school year for kids and for parents to be looking at heading into these various seasons upcoming here in just a moment on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. Just in time for back to school, you can head over to TarynGregson.com and check out under the resources tab, we have exemption resource guides on there, a link for every single state on where to get your forms to file your religious or philosophical exemptions, medical exemptions from the childhood vaccines, as well as did you know that they are tracking your children's vaccinations online in every state has a tracking system. So we are over at TarynGregson.com showing you how to go about those various ways to get your child to opt your child out of those vaccine tracking systems. Like I said, every state has a tracking system. So even if you aren't opting for vaccines and you don't want your kids' information out there for people to see, you can go over to TarynGregson.com. Under the resources tab, we are showing you guys how to go about getting those opt-out forms for those tracking systems. Like I said, as well as a link to every single state. They're just about almost all 50 states. There's a handful that do not allow for religious or philosophical exemptions, but in many states like California and such, you can still go about getting a medical exemption from those vaccines, which Sally just talked about is key there for your child's development. And parents, don't be bullied into it. I know that so many of us have felt that way, either from our pediatricians or what have you. We have some resources on TarynGregson.com for the HPV shot. I have a lot of parents who are like, okay, my kids are teenagers, so they're out of those childhood vaccination phases, but we're being pressured for the HPV vaccine and things like that. So you have a resource for that, the MMR vaccine. We are also going to upcoming have a fluoride resource, a guide for you there. In an upcoming episode, we're going to speak more on fluoride, like Sally had just brought up in this discussion as well. So head over again to TarynGregson.com under the resources tab, vaccine exemptions by state. We have all of the information there for you right now. Welcoming back Sally Fallon to the last segment of the show here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. And I just love everything that you guys are doing at the Weston A. Price Foundation and how you continue to stay on top of all these developments. You said at the beginning of the show that you've learned a lot more about this topic of endocrine disruptors and hormonal development since you published this. What are some things that you can impart your wisdom on us that we can't read in this article?
Okay, so I actually mentioned the painkillers, mm-hmm. like Advil and the fluoride, and I didn't realize that they actually affected testosterone levels. The thing that we're really excited about at the foundation is the progress that we've made on the raw milk front. And by the way, early studies showed that pasteurized milk caused infertility in animals.
Interesting.
And that you could reverse that infertility in animals. Just got a big victory in Iowa. You can now, farmers can sell raw milk in Iowa, excuse me. And we've gotten a lot of publicity about that. Realmilk.com, newly designed. Sorry.
That's all right.
And just in the month of July, we got 100,000 new visitors to the site. So raw milk is going through the roof. People don't believe the government anymore. And they're seeing how healthy their children can. It's been a really exciting thing for us to have happen. Yes, we're coming up into our conference, and I'm very excited. We have our, and I love Naomi. She's so honest about how she's re-examined all her political thinking based on what's happened in the last few years. She's giving our keynote address. We have Tom Cowan, who's very popular, who is really challenging. And Alex Zeck, who did a big thing the end of COVID. And one of the speakers I'm really looking forward to hearing is a guy who speaks about vitamin D and how dangerous it is to take vitamin D supplements. And we have been saying the same thing. If you take, you're going to deplete yourself of vitamin A, which is what you need to make testosterone. And you need to get vitamin D from food. So in COVID, people were taking huge doses of vitamin D, and we warned against it. But he's going to show the science about all of this.
That's really interesting how it does relate back to the testosterone as well, how it depletes testosterone. Yes. So is it yeah. too much of the vitamin D, or is it not enough with other vitamins, you know, and minerals that you're supposed to have alongside the vitamin D?
Well, these three vitamins work together, A, D, and K. These were the fat-soluble vitamins described by Dr. Price, and which he found were so high in traditional diets. But they have to be together. And taking just a lot of vitamin D will deplete you of A and K. And so this is why we recommend cod liver oil, not vitamin D supplements, because in cod liver oil, you get the A and D together. Why we recommend sources of vitamin K, such as poultry liver, poultry fat, cheese, you know, whole food, you know.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I know a lot of people know that they should be getting these things from their food, but I think that, like you said, so many people thought that getting, you know, high doses of vitamin D, no matter how it was being delivered, whether through a pill or supplement or what have you, was a good thing. And many are still doing it. You know, they still take it to this day.
You know, one of the most important things you can do is eat butter. Get rid of all the seed oils, no margarine, no spray cooking oils. Eat butter and you'll get your vitamin A. We cook in lard. Lard is a wonderful source of vitamin D. And eat plenty of eggs with the yolks. Eating real food, the kind of food we used to eat, you will be getting a lot of these nutrients.
I even use lard. I don't know if you've heard of Faro skincare for everybody watching. I use that, and their skincare is lard based. And so you know that you're not putting these weird things on your skin that are endocrine disruptors too. There's various things, various different products out there that people can use by Americans that are working hard to make them and to bring you good, clean products. The raw milk, I love to bring that up on the show because so many people, it scares them, the raw milk, because they've been, you know, they've been told their whole lives that it is scary. And you guys over at the Weston A. Price and realmilk.com, you know, really equip people with doing all of this. My family and I just recently, we had our raw milk routine down in Florida when we were living there. We knew where to go get it. We had an awesome source that we loved. And at a grocery store, we didn't even really have to go out of our way. And then now that we're living in the state of Illinois, we can't get it hardly because you have to go direct to the farm in the state of Illinois. And so we actually were right on the border between Illinois and Missouri. So we actually drive over to Missouri every week to get our raw milk for our kids. But it is so worth it. People need to understand that A, it's so worth it, and B, it is obtainable.
Yeah. It is obtainable, and it is, raw milk is an intrinsically safe food. It has many components that kill pathogens, help build a healthy gut wall, build the immune system. So now I believe that it should be regulated, but even unregulated raw milk has a very good track record.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what pasteurization does, has done, you know, the whole system of pasteurization is a Marxist system that doesn't allow farmers to sell directly. And the farmer today is getting the same price he got in World War II for his milk. No wonder they're going out of business. The healthy, prosperous dairy farm was the backbone of rural life in America. And all the towns spread across the prairies, you know, they had stores, they had a theater, they had a school with a marching band and uniforms. That's disappeared. Because the dairy farms have disappeared.
I think that is really interesting that you bring that up. We're from a small town. We've moved, my husband and I and our family have moved back to the small town. And right across the street from my husband's grandmother is no longer an old dairy farm, no longer in operation. And the man that owns it was telling us about the day back in the 60s when Illinois had outlawed the raw milk so he could no longer sell the raw milk to his customers. And he had people crying, telling him that, you know, he had cured their arthritis and their aches and their pains with their raw milk. And they just were beside themselves for, you know, what they were going to have to do moving forward, living life in pain without that raw milk. And so it's just such an interesting story of anecdote of someone that was back in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, it's roaring back. All but four states now allow farmers to sell raw milk in fashion, and the farmers cannot keep it in stock. And so we have all these little farms coming back, and I predict that within 20 years, there will be no pasteurized milk, that it'll all be raw milk.
I love that prediction. I think it's great. And yeah, we actually, our farm that we get our raw milk from, they were sold out this week. So we couldn't get any raw milk this week. Yeah. If you can't get raw milk like me, you know, my supplier was out of it this week. What alternatives? Is organic pasteurized milk okay?
No, I really would not use any pasteurized milk. The latest studies about what heating does to milk proteins, it totally destroys them. And animals given heated milk proteins are stupider and they have not as good memory, and it's bad for their blood and spleen and all kinds of things. So I would use cheese, especially if you can get raw cheese, but I would definitely use cheese until you can get the raw milk. Because the culturing process in making cheese does, it does repair a little bit what's happened to the milk. And the other thing about cheese is they cannot make cheese out of ultra-pasteurized milk. Mm. It has to just be pasteurized. So at least you know it's not heated to 230 degrees, which is what most milks are today.
That is a wonderful tip. And yeah, you can actually buy raw cheese, coincidentally, from a lot of various places, a lot easier than you can buy the raw milk. But that's really very interesting. Well, Sally, thank you so much for joining us today on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Grigson. People can go to... Yes, thank you. People can go to the Weston A. Price Foundation's website, and you can also subscribe and become a member there. I know I love our membership, and it's a great, great organization that we like to support here at We the Patriots.
Yes.
If you enjoy our content, prayerfully consider making a tax-deductible donation at WePatriotsUSA.org so we can continue to power the education arm of our mission that also extends to work to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights. God bless, and thank you from everyone here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Grigson, presented by We the Patriots USA.